Right. Well, you've popped your podcast on. I've just popped my bread in, and that is very soon going to be toast, all thanks to my gorgeous four-slot classic dual-lit toaster. Oh, do you want one? Do you? Of course you do. All you got to do is go to dualit.com, dualit.com/toasterpod, and then you will... Just hang on. Oh, that's browning really nicely. Yeah, so dualit.com, D-U-A-L-I-T, dualit.com/toasterpod, and you could be winning a four-slot classic toaster, sandwich cages, a classic kettle, a taster pack of compostable coffee bags, and a travel mug, all thanks to our friends at Dualit, who are bringing you today's episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster. But listen, don't take it from me that these toasters, that this kit is brilliant. Take it from the Amazon reviews. Excellent classic, says JR. Designed to last, probably longer than JR did. That's a reference to a TV show from a long time ago. He says it looks superb. Andy says the build quality is fantastic, gives off 60s vibes. Someone else says I bought my parents one 30 years ago and they still use it regularly. These things are built to last, much like me. So do yourself a... Hang on, just... Oh. That looks good. Do yourself a favour. Go to dualit.com/toasterpod. Get stuck in and good luck. On with the show.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Pye's talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, oh. It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Yeah, yeah. My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Oh, well, here we go once more. Once more unto the My Mate Bought a Toaster Series 7 breach. That's my way of telling you, dear listener, this is the final one for this series. Don't worry, there'll be more. We've commissioned another series, and by we've, I've decided to do some more. So they'll be back in probably September time. So, you know, don't unsubscribe, will you please? Alex Brooker today. Wonderful, wonderful guest. I recorded it in his flat, so apologies in advance for the fact he doesn't live in a sound studio. But it's a great episode. He's a top, top guy. Looking forward to you hearing this one. He talks about Steve Jones. Listen out for the Steve Jones reference. It's delightful. Great TV presenter, Steve Jones. Shall I get Steve on next series? Let's do that. He talks about his biggest life lesson. He talks about his disability. He's very honest and frank about that, as you'd expect him to be. Also very funny about that as well, because Alex is absolutely glorious. And I loved spending an hour of my life with him. And I really hope you enjoy today's episode. All right, get stuck in. Enjoy yourselves. Alex Brooker, welcome to My Mate Bought a Toaster. Also, welcome to your own flat.
Yeah, yeah, welcome. Welcome to a stone's throw from the Emirates Stadium.
Normally when people say that, I'm like, I'm a terrible thrower of a ball.
Mate.
It's that close.
Even I could throw it. When you say it's a stone's throw, that's one of my stones. So we're talking like very, just let that's how close we are.
Mate, and obviously you're a massive Spurs fan, so this must be, would you throw just like massive balloons of piss?
Oh, mate.
I mean, you could actually throw, that balcony, yeah, you could throw something onto the pitch from here.
8 minutes, 8 minutes from my sofa to my seat in the ground in the Emirates. So yeah,
that's
amazing.
Incredible. 8 minutes from your sofa to your seat. And now what we're going to do is we're going to get up to 57 miles an hour and we're going to go back in time.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
That is the plan. I have got a delightful little iPad sitting on my lap. It's not my usual one. It's your iPad, Alex, which you've handed over to me. You can't see anything on this, can you?
No, okay. No, I can't. Generally haven't looked at it. I've got no idea.
Good.
So I'm looking forward.
Good. So the earliest order we can go back to on here.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea, Joe, when you first started?
I've got no idea, mate. Absolutely no clue.
2013.
Okay. It was the start of my TV career. So I can imagine I've ordered some absolute random stuff. What's my...
Well, the first thing you buy on the 27th of March 2013 is a framed Brian Clough classic quote football photo memorabilia.
I know what that was. So
good.
That was a present
for Matt Ford,
oh,
who was writing with me on Last Leg. So we just finished the first ever series of Last Leg.
Right.
The very first one after the Paralympics was the start of 2013. And that was his end of series present, because he's a massive Forest fan.
Yes, of course.
Yes, so that was Fordy's present from me.
He never mentions that he's a Forest fan as well, but that's an exclusive already on today's episode.
So isn't that nice? The first thing I bought on Amazon was a present for someone else.
And what's really nice, it says a lot about you as well, Alex, because it's beautiful because, you know, you're there front and centre on the TV earning a lot of money and you spent $24.99 on him.
Yeah, so just at the time, you've got to bear in mind, we didn't know how long... If I'd have known then that Last Leg would have been going 10 years later, mate...
You'd have got him too. He'd have got
that and probably something else.
You'd have exhumed Brian Clough. Yeah. That's a beautiful thing. And so this is great. So that's a perfect indication for us. The first thing shows us exactly where you are in your life, Alex, because this incredible thing has happened to you. You've gone from being a journalist, right?
Yeah.
And then suddenly the Paralympics comes along, you do the Last Leg, and Channel 4 go, yeah, go on then.
Yeah, Channel 4 were like, do you want to come and we're going to... I remember we did the show, The Last Leg of the Year, at the end of 2012. And they said, you know, it's going to be, not all of it's going to be Paralympics. It's a year roundup. So we're going to talk about the news. And we were like, well, we just mainly talk about sport, don't we? Can we do it about the news? And then we went, just why not? And literally, you know, it was, that was where it started again. And as I said, yeah, gosh, when I bought that, made that first Amazon purchase for 40. I'll tell you now, so if you'd have said to me, by the way, you're still going to be doing this in 10 years' time, I'd have gone, absolutely no hope. No hope. I originally had a 10-day contract with Channel 4.
No.
Covered just the Paralympics, and then I was out on the ear after that. So much so, I nearly turned it down. Because at the time, you know, we're just still coming out of the financial crisis and things like that. And I remember my dad saying to me, I had a job as a journalist. Yeah. You know, I worked for the Press Association, solid job, yearly wage.
Yeah.
And he was like, "You're turning it. You're basically blowing it all.
Everything you work for
on a 10-day contract." And I was like, "Yeah, but it could lead somewhere good." And he was like, "It could lead to you just trying to get your old job back." And it was, yeah, mate. It was. It's incredible to think now what the kind of the sliding doors moments involved in it.
It's proper Dreamtown stuff.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it is. It is crazy when I look back at the audition in 2010. Mm. And, you know, then I was just looking for another journalism job. That's the only reason I applied, was because Channel 4, it was an advert saying, genuinely, always remember, it was like, are you disabled? And I was like, yeah. Do you have a background in the media, in particular journalism? I was like, yeah, I'm doing that at the moment. It's like, do you have a background in sport, specifically Paralympic sport? And literally, obviously, I was a sports journalist at the time, and I'd just been talent spotted that year for the Paralympic rifle shooting team. So I was like, I've got the hat trick here. And genuinely, it might sound bad, but I just thought, there can't be that many of us. I don't know that many other disabled people alone, let alone in the industry, let alone in sport. So I was just like, I mean, I've got a 25% chance of getting... There'll be four of us that go for it.
But also, you're really fucking good.
I'll tell you what, if you'd have seen the early stuff, the audition thing and that. But even with that, mate, that was... I left it to... You had to upload a video to YouTube, and it was what you do 3 minutes of Channel 4 airtime. So it's a video. Everyone's had to be 3 minutes. Mm. It was the last day, the very last day you could submit your application.
Yeah.
There was an online form with it. And my mate, Russ, had a production company, a little production company in Leeds, would do like school prospectuses, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I wrote this script out, this silly little script.
So you pieced a camera?
It was, me pitching basically that me and Steve Jones were going to go around the world doing a show where it's just us going on nights out. And basically getting on it was the show that was pitched. And it was leading up to that. And I'd seen a picture of him from like T4 or something like that. And he had this blue V-neck jumper on, like a white shirt underneath, and I literally had the same thing on.
Amazing.
So it was like how I dressed the same. So it was like, look, we look alike. And it was like really tongue-in-cheek. Anyway, my mate was like, I don't have time to do it today. I'm really sorry. I was like, don't worry. It was a load of rubbish anyway.
Jeez.
And literally, I was like, I'm going into town to get my hair cut anyway, so don't worry about it. And I'm talking like, I was like, I'm done. Like, so I wasn't upset. Oh. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot I was going to do that. Went into town, got me a haircut. And I remember him going to me, he rang me and he was like, I've just looked at the script again. He's like, this is good. Mm. Come and do it. Mm. I think I'll make time for you now. And then I was like,
who is this guy? This is your mate.
This is my mate. And genuinely, if he'd never have called me back, never would have uploaded it. I could have done it on my phone. He had a camera. I never would have uploaded it. It was the very last night. I went in, it's like proper sliding doors. And if he'd never have called, even when he called me back, I was like, oh, do you know what? I can't be bothered now. I'm knackered. And he was like, come on, come over.
This isn't
we,
face.
We record this YouTube video. You see it, by the way. It's in like this. It's like, I'm Alex Brooker. I'm a journalist. I live in Leeds. And that's the opening. And it's like, basically, the backdrop is Kirkstall Road in Leeds.
Wow.
And it is, yeah, it was just filmed in his studio in Leeds. And fair play to him because he edited it together for me. He did it really quickly. Got it in I'm talking like, I'd probably say, yeah, a few hours before the deadline at midnight, uploaded the form and the video. And yeah, again, it's real, as I said, it's real sliding doors moments, all of it. There's a lot, I'm not going to sit and go, I knew I'd make it. No. I knew I'd make it on television for 11 years. It's luck. There's a huge amount of luck involved. The fact that the show worked, me, Adam and Josh hadn't met Josh until the very first last leg. Yeah. Didn't know the geezer. Somehow we're all very different, but it works. Mm. It's worked. And it's like, again, it's all luck. There is luck. It's a huge amount of
It's incredible, of luck. But a huge loss to the Paralympic rifle team.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Those guys.
It is. Do you know what the mad thing is, Dom? I'd quit. So before I applied to Channel 4, I'd quit the rifle team already. And the reason why I didn't like it is because I'd never been around other disabled people before. It made me really self-conscious. So I'd quit I started in the February and I quit in the July. So I only lasted 5 months. Literally just ditched it.
Did you tell them that's why you were quitting?
I didn't. I just said, I don't like, this isn't for me. But I'll be honest with you now, rifle shooting. So I say television's a lot of luck. Rifle shooting is the most naturally good I've ever been at anything. I literally went there to cover this talent spotting day they were trying to hold for disabled people for 2012. Yeah. I went to cover it for my company. Obviously, being disabled, I tried some of the sports out. It was a nice feature piece. And I tried rifle shooting and literally straight away, 10 straight away. And then the bloke was like, hang on a minute, let's get someone else over. One of the other coaches come in and like, keep going. It was like 9, 10, 10. And it was ridiculous. And I was so good at it. And I never big myself up, but I'm telling you now, rifle shooting, I was good at. And I just ditched it.
Did you have any idea that you had that skill? You just went along as a journalist to try something out?
Yeah, no, I had no idea.
Does part of you think now, when as a journalist, if you go to anything, you're like, hello, horse riding. Here we go.
No, I know from the last leg and all the sports we've done on that there wasn't. But I remember I went there and I wanted to get into there was table tennis. Because with my hands, I've got the pen grip. Yeah. So I actually can hold a table tennis paddle quite well.
Right.
I was like, I'm going to get in for this. But then they put me in the group with the other people with prosthetic legs.
Right.
And that's like, that's not the restriction to me playing this. So I was playing with people with the same legs as me, but not the same hands. So I was getting absolutely hammered. And again, rifle shooting, I wanted to go home. I went home in a sulk. That was the last one. I said, I'm not doing it. And my boss was like, Alex, you've got to try all of them.
My God.
If you don't, you better not come back and not try all of them.
I've just got this image of you throwing your air rifle down in a strike.
I did.
Forget it. Sorry.
The thing with rifle shooting is it's an hour and a half of competition.
Yeah.
60 shots.
Yeah.
And to win a competition, it's not just getting a 10, it's within the like inner 10, so it's like 10.8, 10.9. It's perfection. Yeah. And it's an hour and a half. And I remember doing one and it was like, I was in about something like 46 shots and the whole idea is repetition.
Yeah.
The breathing, the shots, all the same time,
meditative.
Monotonous, over and over again. It becomes second nature. And I remember doing it. And I was just like, I was doing so well, absolutely nailing it. One, just skews wide, I get a 6 and I'm like, fucking through the air rifle on the kind of the big like kind of range thing. Got a yellow card. I was like, fuck. And it was like, I didn't have the right mentality as well.
Oh, but that's good.
Subscribe, rate, review. Subscribe, rate, review.
Subscribe, rate, review. Find us on YouTube. And don't forget to leave a review. And my main border toaster, you'll feel a little closer when you subscribe and rate and review to my main border toaster. And don't forget to say something nice.
So I bet you people didn't, listening to this, won't have gone, bet you I know what they're going to talk about for the first 10 minutes. He's Brian Clough and rifle shooting.
That's why I love this show. Why I love this show. Okay, great. All right, Alex, this is excellent. All right, so that is April 2013. The other thing you bought that year, you bought some tea, and then you bought Now Foods Healthy Foods. You spent 30 fucking quid on maple syrup.
I spent more on maple syrup than what I did on Fordy's present. That was the other half of it. He absolutely loves pancakes. What have I bought? Tea? Green tea?
Yeah,
but, yeah. Oh, so I did a documentary for Channel 4 in 2014 called it was called My Perfect Body.
Yeah.
And it was about male body image and it was about weight loss. And as part of it, I did the Beyonce, it was a juice diet, the lemon juice diet. Have you heard of that? It was one Beyonce had done it at the time.
You change your acidity levels.
Yeah, so nonsense. Basically all you have for a week is... so it's water, 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, 2 tablespoons of fresh squeezed lemon juice and cayenne pepper. You mix that up in a glass. The rest of it is water. You have between 6 and 12 glasses of that a day.
That's the sort of peripherals on pancake day.
Yeah.
It's pancake day, but every day and with no pancakes.
Yeah, apart from the cayenne pepper. I don't know who's having that. Yeah, so I did that. That's what that was for, was this maple syrup.
Yeah.
And 38 quid. I lost. I remember.
The will to live?
I did. I was so... I couldn't go out. It was horrible. I remember it was about £12 in a week.
And then
I went into training and kicked it off and I looked fantastic after. God.
But then that's part of the documentary, right? Did you talk about how much better you felt about yourself because you looked better?
Well, stuff like that. But also I'd been to the gym, so I kicked it off by going to the gym. I was so skinny. It was crazy. Actually, I think one of those... the photo's up there with my brother.
There's a beautiful montage.
There's one of us where I'm in a yellow shirt. That was 2014, so that's a year later. So you can see how much skinnier I am compared to now, where I'm like plump and I've just given it up.
That's the problem with putting pictures up on your wall, mate.
That's
the before and you're the after.
Yeah, it's 100%.
You don't need that.
It's 100%.
Yeah. Okay, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right, so here you are. Your TV career is underway. That's 2013.
Yeah.
Let's move on to 2014. Right, okay. You bought 22nd of October, you bought a bunch of mini love hearts.
Yeah.
Just being a bit flirty.
Do you know what? I don't even know what they were for.
20 packs of mini love hearts for £11.70. That's weird. And slightly sinister if you're leaving those around in people's dressing rooms and things like that.
They weren't like the favours for our wedding. No, they weren't, because we had M&Ms.
When did you get
married? Maybe I just... on November 2014, so I was thinking whether I'd bought them for that, but we had... I think they might have been in there on the tables
as
well.
That's got wedding written all over it, mate.
Yeah.
It says here, contact seller. Do you want me to get in touch? It's very nice. Any feedback?
Good love hearts.
Come on, yeah, love hearts on that scale.
So you can tell, it was a classy affair.
Yeah.
But, all the tables are named after Arsenal players.
Oh, my God. You're an Arsenal fan. So with that in mind, you got to be sitting on Wenger.
I was on the top tables, Henri. Okay. Then it was different. So there was a Wenger table.
Wenger table's got to be close.
Pires, Wilshere, Charlie George, Tony Adams. Mm. There was a Seaman table. Bit of fun, isn't it? Put some more ice mates, telling them they're on the scene.
Nah, if it's the same table, what you want to do is you want to put couples who never met. Are you trying to match make? Because then you could just say, come and sit next to him. He's a keeper. Do you know what I mean?
There we go. You know. It writes itself.
That's superb.
And
also, look, you bought, again, I'm assuming this is for the wedding, Kiss Garage, presented by DJ Luck and MC Neat.
Oh, mate, that was a CD. Oh, yeah. So you remember, I had it first time around, and then I'd lost it. And then I was like, those Kiss Garage presents Luck and Neat, those albums were absolutely unreal. They were such good albums. They were like the soundtrack to kind of my sick form years. Banger after banger. Oh,
you've got the sun
twice
shit.
As nice.
Oh,
oh yeah.
You've got the sun shit mix of
Terminator's
seven
real.
Days.
Oh, there's seven. There's yeah, also yeah, yeah. Terminator's Rear on there. Case in JJ. Just bangers.
You've got to be. You've got to be looking at a first dance here. Weed is all we need. Madeline. That's your first dance. Right there. This is beautiful. You see what's happened already.
Yeah.
What format, Alex? Already we have seen the career kicking off, and now here's your beautiful.
Yeah, I don't think. Day. I don't think that. I don't think that was. I think that was just for the car, mate.
Okay,
that one. Okay. So it's not for. I'm not going.
Maybe it was the car on the way to the wedding. Yeah, cool.
No, right, no, 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 that was no, that wasn't. No.
2015 then, Alex Brooker. Let's find out where you're at now in 2015. Only two orders in 2015.
Whoa! Tightening my belt.
I think so.
Yeah.
What's going on there? You bought a couple of things. You bought a 3-meter mini DisplayPort to HDMI adapter. That's for the MacBook Pro.
Yes. I got that so you can play, so you don't, if basically... So I could watch Sky on telly. You can plug it, can't you, from
yes,
your lappy into
yeah.
your Mac into the
Are you a gadget kind of guy?
No, that was something that somebody told me about.
Yeah.
Also, I used to use that for like, you know, if you do go and do like a talk or something like that, like I used it at a university for a PowerPoint presentation, yeah. play clips and stuff like that. That way you're blagging your way through your hour.
What's the headline news when you go back and then and you do those talks to students? And I love that, yeah, by the way, to get through the hour, get some clips on.
Yeah, 100%.
Here's my best bits, guys. Gonna,
yeah.
What's the headline thing? Do you just go in and go, I don't know, I just, you know.
I think it's, what's the advice I've given them?
I love doing it. I love it, because I love patronising. Patronising is my natural state of mind. I love to go back and go, all right, kids.
They were like, oh, what's the biggest lesson you learned at university?
Beautiful.
And I just had to really think about it. And then I just went, you don't know true fear until you can't find your leg after a one-night stand. And I'm telling you now, you don't. And you'll never know this because for you, all of your limbs are attached.
For now.
But if you wake up and you don't know where you are, and you don't know who the other person is, and you're like, how the fuck have I got here? And then you go, where the fuck is my leg? And you can't go, and you're like stuck. I remember finding this leg, the panic, because I didn't know where it was. And it was, as anyone know, student like halls. The curtains are thick as anything. So it was underneath his curtain. I remember trying to lean to try and like get it. And obviously I don't have what you'd call reach. So it was like, I remember just kind of hoping it had like, ping into me hand like a lightsaber and I was going to get...
The sheer force of will.
Yeah. Well, I remember thinking, oh, this is going to be weird because the girl's going to wake up next to, I don't want to wake her up and I don't really know what's going on. It's like, it's going to be weird, so I need to get out of there.
Did she know that you had a prosthetic leg?
No, I don't know. I would have assumed not. Mm. And it's not the sort of thing that you want to go, surprise.
Do you think you threw it off in passion?
Do you know what? The story of how that leg got under the curtain is much better than the story I'm telling you now. And I'll never know it.
Kinda like bread, but I really love toast. And which toaster could I say I love the most? The four-slot machine to toast my bread. The answer's simply stuck in my head. Cause there never could be another kind. It's only Juliet that's on my mind. It's only Juliet that's here to stay. It's only Juliet that takes my bread away.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to after you finish today's episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster, you should check out False Economy. They're friends of the show. They're very funny indeed. And in a way, quite similar. They go through people's spending habits, their shopping habits, the mistakes, the successes, the best bargains, the most embarrassing things they've bought, the weirdest stuff they've bought, all that stuff. Very good. Hosted by the fabulous Vix Leighton and Andrew O'Neill. They've had some wonderful guests on, including Esther Manito, Callie Beaton, Lily Phillips. Loads of brilliant people talking about everything they've bought. I can definitely recommend, by the way, the episode with Catherine Bohart in. This is quite useful for me. I can go through all their guests, get the best ones. I mean, they've got a lot of good ones. Catherine Bohart, very, very funny comedian, and she went on and talked about her fancy exercise gear and constant need to buy chests of drawers. We've all got it, Catherine. Anyway, that is False Economy, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I do these talks. I've done them all, like, yeah, you know, kind of. I haven't done one for a while. The old, what they're called, the old inspirational talks.
Yeah,
that exactly. Sort of business.
It's just a little TED just... thing to go back. It's that thing, isn't it? When you get to a certain age and you go, well, maybe I do know something. Oh, shit. And on the train there, no, I'm not sure.
The thing is, though, I'm obsessed with the idea of inspiration because it's like one of those things that's just thrown around. Yeah. To most people is a word that they will never be described. As a disabled person, it's your default. So the second I was born, people were thinking I'm inspirational and I have done fuck all apart from exist. And that's a level of inspiration. And basically what I've done in this 39 years since is I've started at inspirational, tried to work my way back because that's your default.
It's a lot like Trump with his inheritance.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He had all that money and he's just sort of, it's just been poorly invested.
It's like Brewster's Millions and I've got to try and like blow all of my inspiration by the time I hit 40. It's just like trying to get rid of it.
You want to become a warning from history.
Yeah.
That's where you're aiming.
Because it is the thing. It's like, you know, disabled people are so inspirational. Don't get me wrong. Loads of us are, but it's like, yes. And the thing is, it's all relative. It's all in the eyes of someone else. And it's, you know, you always get the thing. It's like, oh, do you know what? Honestly, I wouldn't be able to do it if I was you. Wouldn't be able to do it. And basically what, that's like someone's trying to be polite and say nice. And they're trying to say that they admire the fact they obviously see an element of resilience or tenacity in you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But really, if you strip that back, what they're saying is, if I look like you, I'd rather be dead.
Fuck
so I couldn't do it. I wouldn't be able to get out of bed in the morning. If I had to put a leg on in the morning, wouldn't want to get out of bed, I'd stay there. I'd leave the leg under the curtain.
Yeah. I mean, it's fucking...
It is, but that's like, you can take it either way, but obviously people are nice. We are.
Thank God I'm not you. Well done.
Yeah, that is
it. That is what it's in between the lines. Yeah,
and but inherently we are a polite society, and I think we get ourselves tied ourselves up in knots over trying to say the right thing. Yeah. And actually, nowadays, you know, even now, it's like, obviously, we're slightly more... I hate the word woke. It's a load of rubbish. Yeah. It's not a thing. No. But we try to be a nicer society.
Yeah.
Not on Twitter. Twitter people are
No, obviously Twitter's heinous, but sometimes it's nice to walk into a bin fire. But if you're cold, go to Twitter. But that's why the last leg was so refreshing, right? Because it came along and it just, you know, especially now. But back then, that was before the
wave, even when I was told about last leg and it would be looking at clips of stuff at the Paralympics, like, yeah, we'll just laugh at some of the funny stuff. I'm like what? And they're like, oh, you know, there's this clip of there's a guy, he's a blind guy and he's doing a long jump and he misses a pit. And honestly, they were like, it's hilarious. And I'm like, is it?
What?
And then you see it and they have a guide and the guide is kind of, their voice is kind of, they guide them to where they got to jump to.
Right.
But the guide has obviously either gone off or the guy's kind of misheard. He just goes flying off the other side of the pit. And it's a great jump, but it don't count because he ends up landing a bit on the concrete. And you watch it and you go, that is actually cool. But the thing with last second, we always say it is, the thing first and foremost is just we celebrated the achievements.
Yeah.
We celebrated how good the sport was. And it is. Mm. Paralympics is elite sport. That was a thing where you can have laugh at the quirks of it, but at the heart of it, it's an incredible, it's just great. I love sport. And it's not after a while, it's not like, isn't he fast for someone with one leg? You're just like, isn't he fast?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's where we got to with it, I'd like to think. And then we're able to kind of, you celebrate and then we were able to have the fun with it. And I like that. And I got on board with that very quickly because when I'd started last week, people would assume that I've always just laughed about stuff with my disability, but actually I haven't.
No.
I really haven't. And that was... I've learned to do it through that show. Yes. That's the crazy thing, is doing it on there is the mad thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. It's been a way of coping with it's been an anger thing mechanism, right?
See, basically, I said to the boys last year when we clocked up the 10 years,
yeah.
I said to them, it's an element of, it's a form of, when I finished the shooting team and I kind of realised that I maybe had some issues and I was self-conscious about my disability.
Yeah.
I remember going to see a therapist for a while and I remember him going, you need years of this at the end of it. And I was like, nah, I'm all right. And he was like, nah, you need years of this. And weirdly enough, I've done 10, 11 years of it on a sofa. The therapy, talking it through stuff that I'm the most self-conscious about. I talk about it on the show. And I think I did say to the boys, to Hilsey and Josh last year, that it goes beyond a job when it has that level of impact on you, because it is a job and it is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But it's also helped me become really much more comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's a really, it's huge. It's massive.
You have the nation. Like that's,
it's a really, I'm extremely, extremely lucky to have had that experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also good at shooting rifles.
Yeah, mate.
What a guy.
Yeah.
Okay, look, 2017, you've got the Star Wars Darth Vader Bluetooth speaker, fully licensed.
Yeah.
Nice, 146 quid.
That was a another present for...
Matt Ford?
Yeah, it wasn't. Do you know what? Fordy had left last leg by then. I've got a different writer I work with. That's obviously, right. I'm further along in telly now,
wow.
So the presents are getting...
Oh my God, if Fordy's listening to this, he is furious. You've gone from Brian Clough to Darth Vader.
Yeah, mate.
Wow.
The logical step.
I tell you what, anyone who's an aspiring writer, work with Alex Brooker in about 5 years, you'll get a fucking house. Good. All right, let's move into 2018. Oh, not the first time this has come up, this series. September 2018, Tom Davis bought one of these as well. So did Ed Byrne buy one of these. The Brabantia Touchbin, 60 litre.
Yeah. Oh,
143 quid on a bin.
Yeah. Mate.
We are fucking mugs, aren't we? Somewhere, someone is sitting at Brabantia HQ, jerking off frantically.
Yeah. Good bin though, mate.
Still got it?
Yeah, of course I have.
It's the main bin.
Yeah, it's the main bin in the kitchen still.
60 litres, that's a week of crap,
isn't
it?
That's big, yeah. Big family. You've got kids.
How old are the kids now?
They are 5 and 6.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That can fill a bin in a day.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Big time. Big time. So, yeah, the girls are 5 and 6.
Okay.
Great fun, man.
And they've got a posh bin. I mean, that's a way of them coming across as dead middle class.
Yeah.
You're not going to hide your Ashford roots.
I know one of the last things. I know, obviously, the more recent stuff I bought, and that was stuff for the girls.
Okay, good. All right, fine. Okay, that's a nice little preview of what's to come. Right, they're going to barrel on through now to 2020 now, okay? So we're going to...
It's COVID.
Pandemic. Yeah, here it is. Again, not loads of things. You don't
get... PPE?
A lot of PPE. Blood pressure monitor. No, none of that. I mean... Again, man of the people, Alex Brooker. He's bought some Laurent Perrier Cuvée Rosé Champagne.
Big time.
Twice.
Yeah, I got bang into it. What, was that around about August time?
Yes.
So, that was cup final. Arsenal got to the cup final against Chelsea.
Right.
And I was like, well, I'll have it in there in case we beat them, and we did.
Yes.
You know what?
Rosé Champagne
I don't have... a lot of like really expensive taste, but I do love a drop of that. I can nail that stuff.
Because I'm not a big drinker.
Yeah.
But then you give me Prosecco and I'm like, fizzy wine.
Yeah.
Champagne, I'm like, I've gone to a different place.
Yeah.
You do know.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
It's got a way of going down that you're like, this. I don't even notice I'm drinking it.
Yeah, mate, it's there, that's it.
We're such men and the people talking about drinking our champagne. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Okay, fine. I'm enjoying watching the TV money going to your head with your posh bins and your fancy pants fizzy drinks. And we're in the pandemic year. You got some large plastic bin bags.
Yeah, of course.
Here we go. Blue Line swimming pool net.
Oh. What?
This is July 2020 again.
So we got a hot tub.
Yeah.
Before COVID, actually, it was really good, and that was to fish any stuff out of it, yeah, any bits, because it was under a tree, so any leaves, I'd go and like scoop all the.
Yeah, there's a moment where you've installed your fancy pants hot tub,
yeah,
and you're sitting there, and suddenly the first leaf falls down, you're like,
yeah.
£399, 400 quid you've spent on the 4-seater outdoor garden patio set.
Oh, yeah, some extra seating. The table of that is actually now smashed because one of the window cleaners slipped off the roof and landed on it.
Right.
Landed on it feet through. And it, by the way, by a roof, I'm talking like a lower, so not a house. It was probably fell about 9 feet, but he was kind of doing these the windows when they were on a...
Velux.
Velux. He was doing some of them by our conservatory bit. And yeah, he went and, slipped.
I mean, obviously, the first slipped, question I have to ask
and
was...
rather than... Yeah. Yeah, he's fine. He fucked up that table.
I love it. Did you sit there with your champagne? Excuse me, mate.
No, I just come home and I said to my wife, I was like, That table underneath, like the, it's that tempered glass. I was like, that's all fine. But underneath it, the wicker bit of it, the ram bit, it's just got a big, like, kind of like dent in it.
You don't give a shit that you've broken his fall and possibly saved his life. No. Can I just say, to sort of loop back very quickly onto the champagne thing, I don't want this to become an intervention. Three bottles on the 11th of May, three bottles on the 10th of April, the four bottles on the 10th of April. You're buying like one a week here, mate.
Yeah, I didn't have anything to do. Oh, look, everyone knows. What else did you have to do during the... Everyone got on it. I don't give a stuff what anyone says. I was just like, you didn't have anything. It was like the treat once a week.
Oh, I love it.
I was doing Zooms, absolutely. Yeah, cracking on with that stuff. Yeah, I did really get into it.
Yeah. But it's painting a lovely picture of a happy life here, man.
Yeah, it really is a beautiful thing.
The whole thing has just got such... I love the fact that your Amazon history starts just when the TV thing starts, and here you are just having an absolutely bang...
Yeah.
An unapologetically banging time. That's what's good about this. It's just like, yep, I'm drinking loads of champagne, got a hot tub, and in 2021... this is classic, the... corner protectors for a table. I love those bits of rubber you slap on the corner.
So we just moved house and the table, the kitchen island was, I just got a real obsession. I'm a real, with the girls, I'm a real like kind of panicker, worrier.
Yeah.
And they're not toddlers anymore, but in my head they are.
Yeah.
And I still think at the moment, like the door handles, when they run past the door when it's open, I still get that thing and I panic. Yeah. And so, yeah, big on the corner protectors.
I mean, basically, that's all parenthood is. It really is. And also, perpetual.
Yeah. And also, for me, when I've like been piling into the rosé champagne as well, so I don't, knock
it's
myself
not for the
on
kids
it.
At all. Listen, we're getting towards the end of this recording. It's a beautiful thing, and it's been what I love about the show is when you do it, and I'm like, I don't know you that well, and now I feel like I know everything about you.
Stuff which I can't believe. So there's a thing where I bought a box set of Dawson's Creek and The OC.
Yeah, that's really early on, 2013. That
yeah,
was.
So I love all of that. Like just to,
But this is you, right? It's the comfort stuff. You're unashamedly going, I love that.
Yeah, I love Christmas. I love Christmas. I love boy bands. I love The OC. I love Dawson's Creek. I love The Bodyguard. Yeah, I love all of stuff like that. So I'm unashamed about it.
But that is the thing, is that there is a snobbery. And only in Britain would we invent the phrase a guilty pleasure.
It's just stuff I like. It's like my mates just go, you've got the weirdest taste in me. I've got the musical taste of a 14-year-old girl. And it's like, it's really weird. I like kind of stuff that is traditionally more laddie, football, going to pub and stuff like that. And then I've been to see Bodyguard musical like six times. So I like what I like. I like what I like.
That's where we're at though, right?
Yeah,
this is wonderful.
It is what it is.
So listen, the last thing we've got here that you've bought, June 2023, $9.55 you've spent on the Ghostbusters boys t-shirt.
Yeah.
5 to 6.
So... basically, I've got a Ghostbusters t-shirt, and in Huddersfield, where I live now, there was like a Comic-Con thing in the town centre where they had film cars. So there was an Ecto-1 that was going to be there, the Ghostbusters car.
Oh.
And I was like, do you know what? I want to go. I want to go and see this car for myself. My girls have never seen Ghostbusters. It's far too scary for them. Yeah. I've got no interest in seeing it, but... I was like, look, to try and make it a thing for them, I'll get us matching T-shirts.
Good.
So we all got matching T-shirts. Oh, and it was, I'll quickly...
It's the merch that reels them in. That's how football clubs do it. That's how you get the kids in.
Yeah,
exactly. Have you got little Arsenal shirts yet?
They've had loads of Arsenal shirts, pal. They've had loads of them. They absolutely...
It does the job.
They don't like wearing them. I said to them the other day about wearing them.
Just never give up.
I know this isn't for this, but I'm saying... There we are in front of the Ecto-1. Losing, but it's on my Instagram. I lost my shit when I said it. I'm a big Ghostbusters fan. I'm obsessed with it.
It's incredible.
I went to go and see the newer one, Afterlife, and I cried at the end of it. I bawled my eyes out.
Yeah.
And I was sat next to Lee Francis and he was just like, he'd already seen it. He's like, mate, you're going to cry. I was like, I won't. And I reckon I cried solidly for about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
I was gone.
Yeah. And I don't cry in movies.
I cry at everything.
You know what? It's a great place to leave the episode today.
Yeah. By the way, the new Ghostbusters film comes out this year. James Acaster's in it. I don't know if you saw that. James Acaster's actually in the new Ghostbusters. I've never been as jealous of any of... my mates have ever, any job they've ever got ever.
Yeah.
And that is...
Is he front and centre? Has he got a good
part? I don't know. All I know is, but last time I spoke to him, he'd been announced. I was like, mate, this is amazing.
Unbelievable.
Like, he was just about to go and film it. And
that is, Ghostbusters is so iconic for me. Yeah. That is my first memory of watching TV, losing myself in movies, loving the whole world.
Yeah.
But also with Ghostbusters as well, hence why what you do now, it's a great combination of brilliant plotting, but funny, like so, that combo of funny, but really also funny. A great story. Like
really funny, really funny.
Amazing.
I love it. It's my favourite, mate.
Talking about funny and a great story. That's what today has been. It's been a beautiful thing to start with. To start with Brian Clough.
And finish with Ghostbusters.
And then with Ghostbusters. Alex, this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for doing my
Newport
Toaster. We'll come back again. We'll look back again in 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And we'll just see just how much champagne you've been buying.
Yeah, how much other stuff for other people.
And better gifts for your writers. You should just pay your writers, man. That is... It's not on.
Mate, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It's been a real joy. Thank you so much for doing
and
the show.
I'll see you on Magic Christmas.
Mate, you're booked.
You know, honestly.
You are 100% booked for 100% Christmas.
Yes.
Honestly, that is happening.
I mean, if he thinks I'm joking, he's definitely coming to do 100% Christmas. Make sure you're listening to Magic at Christmas time, and you'll hear us then. I mean, he really is booked. That's it. That's an oral agreement. You heard it here first. Alex Brooker is coming to work on Magic 100% Christmas. He's going to make the tease. Now, that is the end of this episode. That is the end of this series. Normally, I'd recommend that you listen to next week's episode. At this point, there isn't one for next week. So instead, here's a recommendation. Have a listen to My Mate Katie's podcast.
What a brilliant podcast My Mate Bought a Toaster is. There's another brilliant podcast which I host. It doesn't sound quite as jolly. It's called Talking with Cancer. But it's honestly good and worth a listen. It's insightful. It's interesting. It can be funny, actually. It's honest, real and raw. It's all those things. It's basically about me. I'm Katie Phillips and my cancer diagnosis and my treatment plan and the journey that I'm on. But I also interview really fascinating guests who've been impacted by cancer, either professionally or personally. So I hope once you've finished listening to this, you'll do a little search on your podcast platform for Talking with Cancer, and I'll see you there.
Thank you, Katie. They'll be there. You know they will. They're excellent listeners, the Toaster lot. Enjoy them. Make the most of them. Right, thank you so much for listening to this series of My Mate Bought a Toaster. I will be back in September. Have a lovely few weeks, and I'll see you soon. All the best. Kind regards. Lots of loves. Don't be a stranger.
It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, it's My Mate.